You may be seated. Father, we are excited to gather in this place to worship you. And just like the words that we've been singing, that we want to place our trust in you, our firm foundation, because we've learned and we've recognized that when we place our trust in anything else or anyone else other than you, it fails us. It falls short. Father, thank you for meeting us in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill this room, that you would encourage us, that you would give us hope, that you would challenge us. Show us what we need to know from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. If you're using the Bible app, YouVersion, you can go down to events and then find Bethel Live, and then everything you need is there, scripture and outline, everything. Want to welcome those who are also joining us online and those in the FLC that are joining us. Happy Father's Day to all you dads. Today we finally get a break from all the cooking and housework, changing dirty diapers, all those things. We get at least one day, right? We are in a series called Imitate, and through God's Word, we're being encouraged to follow God's example, and it comes out of Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Last week, I talked about what it means to be honest with God and what it means to just kind of open up and just have a conversation with God about our struggles and where we're at and what we're celebrating and all those kinds of things. And today, I want to talk about what it means to be accountable. I want to talk about accountability. I've been living the Christian life for long enough to know that without accountability, I will always settle for the easy chair. Has anyone else noticed that we are living in a time, in a day and an age when there seems to be little to no accountability? People just do whatever they want to do. People just say whatever they want to say. They live however they want to live, as though they're not accountable to anyone. And especially maybe not even accountable to God. A follower of Christ who wants to move toward a life of no compromise and who wants to live their life, this language of being fully abandoned to God, must know and not forget that there is one whom they are always accountable to. We're accountable to God for every area of our life. The free-for-all that we see and the free-for-all that we experience around us every day is the result, I think, of a lot of different things in our culture. And it could be rebellion, it could be ignorance, it could be pride, it could be selfishness. But when we have no accountability, or at least we live like we don't have accountability, we become bent toward our sinful self. We are wired, I think, in such a way that if we know or even think that we can get away with something, we're drawn to it. Maybe you've experienced that. This past week, I like this phrasing sometimes, I got punched in the face, so to speak, and maybe even felt like I got gut punched by the Word of God when I was reading. It literally almost took the wind out of me. Listen to 1 John 3:6. This is what it says. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Let that sink in for just a second. The second half says, no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. When we forget that we are accountable to God, we let our guard down, and it doesn't take long before we're even shocked by our own behavior and our thoughts. Have you ever been there where you've gotten to a place, you're like, what just happened? We find ourselves ever so quickly conforming to the patterns of the world that we read about in Romans 12, 1 and 2. But accountability, it always begins with vulnerability. And if we want to live lives that are unashamed, then we have to be willing to kind of bear all. King David, that's what we see in Psalm 51. Maybe you're familiar with that passage of scripture. And he stood before God and he just laid it all out and confessing his sinfulness to God. And in the end, he made this one request in verse 10. He said, after confessing everything, he said this, Create in me a pure heart, O God. And in the passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning, there's an assumption being made. The assumption is that any Christ follower who wants to pursue a life of righteousness and to be blameless, a life that is pleasing to God. I'm also going to assume this morning that every Christ follower here desires to live a righteous life. And if that is true, making the topic of accountability to God exceptionally relevant for all of us. Here's our first interaction. We're continuing to do this. For those who are online, if you're here and you want to interact with this question, and or maybe you just want to ponder it yourself, or if you want to turn to the person next to you, here's the first question. How would you define or describe accountability? So just take 45 seconds and ponder that or talk about it. Number one that I want to talk about is I am accountable to God for what consumes my heart, and it's found in verses 20 through 23. It says this, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, this is one of my favorite verses. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The heart is the starting point for all of life's activities. It's the center and the core of every bit of who we are and everything that we do. It determines the course of life, the scripture says. Your heart does. And so it says, guard your heart at all costs. It was known to be the place or the center of all emotion, intellect, and will. So when you use the word heart, that's the three things that would come to mind. So like on a wheel, the heart is the hub, and then there's all these spokes of life. And if the hub is not in balance, the spokes won't work properly. So all of life passes through our heart. And so the point is, the condition of our heart will determine the fruit of our lives. As your heart goes, so goes your life. And so when it comes to our heart or the hub, there's several words used to describe this idea of guarding it. When it comes to our heart, we're to protect, watch over, police, look after, supervise, keep an eye on, overlook, stand over, chaperone, shepherd, oversee, keep tabs on the condition of your heart. And that's what he's saying. So from an undivided and pure heart, our lives flourish. But the heart is the key. What happens if we forget to guard our hearts? It's left vulnerable for attack and vulnerable to be captured by outside influences. It doesn't take long for our heart to become contaminated by the world. And once it's contaminated, we're robbed of joy, peace, and purpose. If you have a bad attitude or you're apathetic toward God, most likely it's because your heart went unattended. If you have a sin habit, it's not because you aspire to be a bad person, it's because your heart was left unguarded. If you struggle with perverted thoughts, your heart was not under surveillance. You get the idea. Our heart is the source of life. Our thoughts, our plans, our attitudes, our words, our actions, all of our choices begin right here with our heart. Guard it, and guard it well. My son used to play basketball, and I still remember this game that we were in, and there was a kid on the other team who hit 9 3-pointers. And as parents, you're scratching your head like, can nobody guard this guy? Can anybody just get out on him, get a hand in his face, do something? But because he was left unattended, he made us pay. If your heart is left unattended, you'll pay in this life. Everything in your life rises and falls on the condition of your heart. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. We're accountable to God for the condition of our heart. What are we allowing our heart to be influenced by? Are we leaving it exposed to the world? Are we leaving our heart unprotected? I wonder, like, if our heart had a lid and you could just lift the lid a little bit and take a quick inventory of your heart, what would you find? What clutter, bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, evil, perversion, pride, what would you find? We're accountable to God for everything that consumes our heart. Let us submit our heart under the authority of God. And the second one is, I am accountable to God for what comes out of my mouth. Verse 24. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. If you had to be honest, what do you find coming out of your mouth? I believe that one of the areas of life where we, even as Christians, lack the greatest amount of self-control is what comes out of our mouth. I've had countless people come to me and say that their greatest struggle, even as a believer, is their mouth. I could still remember the first time I said a swear word. To this day, I was in upper elementary and some kids who had never heard me say a bad word ever started daring me and then double daring me, and I gave in and I said, "Jeepers creepers. Now leave me alone." Actually, it was a lot worse than that. And it was in that moment I realized that I became bilingual. I had a whole new vocabulary. I also remember living two lives. I remember going to school and having one language and then coming home and at church having a different language and just trying to balance those. But I was also raised in a home where my father only knew swear words, it seemed like, and it was like walking through a minefield because you never knew when the next bomb was going to go off. James 5:12 says, "Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by the heaven or by the earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned." Now, here's the deal. When I use the word speech as it's used here in this passage, I'm not only using it to mean four-letter words. I'm using it in the sense of anything that comes out of our mouth that's not glorifying to God. Because if our heart is filled with bitterness, our mouths will spew hatred and slander. If our heart is filled with pride, our mouths will speak arrogance. If our heart is filled with perversion, we'll speak filth. In the same way, if our heart is filled with God's love, our mouths will speak kindness. If our heart is filled with God's grace, our mouths will speak forgiveness. If it's filled with joy, we'll speak praises. If it's filled with gratitude, our mouths will give thanks. Our mouth is the FedEx for our heart. It will deliver whatever gets deposited. James 3:3-6 says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." We can use our mouth to build up or to tear down, to speak truth or to speak lies, to encourage or discourage, to gossip or to be quiet, to speak positive or to be negative. It's kind of crazy to think that we can praise God from this mouth and at the same mouth do so much damage. I wonder if I just took the opportunity and recorded just for one day everything that came out of my mouth and I were able to just play it back and listen. The things that come out of our mouth are indicators of the true condition of our heart. We're accountable to God for everything that comes out of our mouth. So we submit our mouth under the authority of God. I'm accountable to God for what my focus is. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. You've heard this analogy, and I think it was from the movie Up with the squirrel, you know, kind of going through life, and then all of a sudden you're focused on something, then there's a squirrel, and you're like, squirrel, and you know, it's just all this instant distraction. And so my question using that analogy is this: what squirrels are distracting you? What is it in this life that is so stinking important that we struggle to keep our focus on God? And I have things in my life that have made that important. Every time I find myself distracted by the world that surrounds me, I think to myself, why isn't God enough? Are there things that he can't give me that I think that I can go out somewhere else and find? Just like a middle linebacker watches the eyes of a quarterback to see where he will throw the ball. Unless you're playing against the Bears. Because you don't have to look at Mitchell Trubisky's eyes, because he's probably not going to complete the pass anyway. But if you want to know where a person is heading in this life, look into their eyes. What are they looking at? What are their eyes fixed on? Because whatever our eyes are fixed on, that's where we're headed. The lust of our eyes directs our steps. We read, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. If we invite God to lead us and guide us in this life, then where do you suppose we ought to be looking? That's where he says in Proverbs, look straight ahead. God gives us enough to satisfy our needs, but he has no interest in satisfying our greed. And yet, while God is trying to lead us, we find ourselves all the time in life, squirrel, squirrel, distracted. What is your squirrel? Is it money? Is it work? Is it image? Feeling successful? Knowledge? Pleasure? Entertainment? Leisure? God says, look straight ahead and keep from being distracted from what really matters in this life. Jesus said in Hebrews, fix your eyes on me. I am the author and the perfecter of your faith. In other words, don't waste your time looking and chasing after things in this life that have no eternal value. In this life, you're just a pilgrim passing through. Shane Claiborne says in a series called Economy of Love, give me neither poverty nor riches, for in my poverty, I could be forced to steal. Or in my riches, I could forget my God. We need to be convinced that God is enough. We're accountable to God for our focus in this life. Let us submit our eyes under the authority of God. Here's a second interaction question. So take a minute and kind of ponder this or talk about it. It's kind of a fun question. What squirrel keeps distracting you? What squirrel keeps distracting you? The fourth one is, I'm accountable to God for what choices I make. Verse 26 and 27, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Are you aware of any choices that you are currently making that you know is dishonoring to God? In these last two verses, the focus is on the choices that we make. In other words, to take note of the things in this life that are kind of that moral hindrance. I've mentioned in the past that if you're a Christ follower, you said in so many ways as a Christ follower, I believe in the Bible and I believe it to be the inspired, God-breathed word of God. I believe it is true and it teaches me how to live. Or we could say it is our ethic. I also mentioned that while we call the Bible our ethic, our code that we follow, that we have morality, and morality is the way that we live. And so integrity is the difference between those two. If we claim the Bible to be our ethic, and this is the way we live, and that's our morality, the difference between those two is our integrity. The closer those two things are together, if we live close to our ethic, the greater integrity that we have. Verse 26 says, to make level paths or ways that are firm. That means to rid your path of anything that causes you to stumble or fall. In Hebrews, again, it says this, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance in the race marked out for us. The word says, take a look at your path. Take a look at where you're going. Whatever is hindering you or whatever is entangling you, all of those things that have somehow convinced you that you're not accountable to God, get rid of them. None of us are ever going to live a perfect life. None of us will ever be Jesus. We will always be sinners. But the Word of God is just saying, as you journey through this life, remove the rocks, remove the debris from your path that keeps tripping you up. I often think, how many times can I trip over the same rock? Eugene Peterson interprets 1 John 2:28 this way. And now, children, stay with Christ, live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. We're accountable to God for the choices that we make, so we submit our choices under the authority of God. So we take a hard look at our lives and ask, is there any area of my life that involves my heart, my mouth, my eyes, or my feet that is functioning as though I'm not accountable to God? I want to close by having you stand, and I want to read a prayer together. Maybe you would join me in that. If you're able to stand, would you stand? Then we're going to close with a song here in just a second. And it's our one thing for this week. I also want you to know, you're like, you know, church seems like it's been getting over early. And I want you to know something. I've never had one complaint. Until after the first service, this guy walks out and he says, I want church to be longer. And I said, you win a reward. I don't know what it is, but he gets a reward somewhere. So I got a prayer up here. I want us, and we're doing that because we have to sanitize and clean and stuff. So don't get too used to this. And when things get back to normal, we'll be back to 2-hour services. So, yeah, 2 hours. Let's read this prayer together if you feel comfortable. Dear God, there are areas of my life that I have been living as though I'm not accountable to you. Please forgive me. I want to submit those areas under your authority and live accountable to you. My creator, my savior, my sustainer, my life. Let's worship.